Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we're glad that you're with us today. For anybody who doesn't know me, my name is the Reverend Jacob Nault, and I'm the pastor here, and we are really excited for today. We've got a big day here. Levi Hunick will be baptized into the Christian faith this morning, and Alyssa Hunick will be officially joining the church, although she's been active here for a long time, so it feels more like an affirmation of membership than receiving a new member. But it's a great thing to do that. I don't really have any other announcements other than the fact that Easter flower orders are due next Sunday, and we're a little short on where we want to be in terms of flowers. So if you want to help us beautify our sanctuary on Easter Sunday, get those orders in as soon as you can. Are there any other announcements this morning?
BBS registration is open, as you can see. Please ignore the coffee hour, May 25th. I got that filled at the first service. So,
great.
Monday, Thursday readers. The April 17th is Monday, Thursday here at church at 7 o'clock. I couldn't figure out how many people we had last year as readers, so I just put a whole bunch of lines on a sheet. So just please sign up if you're willing and able. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, so as we prepare to share the peace of Christ with each other, there are many ways we can do that. So you can handshake, and or you can hug, or whatever, but not everyone loves being touched. So if you are one of those people, you can just wave and we won't touch you. So let's share the peace of Christ with each other.
Please rise again if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Together we pray to God, a source of holy wisdom. May love bring to our attention what needs healing. To be free of love for power. How gracious is the mercy of God, ushering us home to each other. Let us pray together. Creator of all, we trust you to be our wise guide through all that needs examination. We wish to change the harmful habits and practices passed down to us. We know there is pain that spans generations, still asking for our care and repair. We know there are stories we must help rewrite to move us in different directions. Refine our practices of love that we may heal and grow through your grace. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 354, Just As I Am, verses 1, 3, and 4.
Amen. You may be seated.
How are you guys today?
Good morning.
Can I have you pick something out of this bag?
Number 11? Yeah. Just use the handheld?
Yeah. We got some feedback.
Okay, I can turn that off. Make it that help.
All right. Can I have you each pick something out of this basket? Except for my note cards. That would be bad. Can you pick something out of there? There's stuff underneath. There's stuff on top. Just pick one thing. I'm going to ask for it back, too. Okay. Oh, you found something. All right. That's all right. You good? There's a few things in there. Okay. All right. What do you all have? Okay. What do you have? What is yours called? Do you know what that's called, Torn? That's called an eraser. Anybody know what an eraser does?
What is the eraser?
It like removes writing.
Yeah, the eraser removes writing. What do you have? It's called
whiteout. Can you say whiteout?
Whiteout.
And it covers up mistakes.
Whiteout covers up mistakes. What do you have? A magic eraser? One of those magic erasers?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They also erase like erasers, but like dirt.
Dirt, marks on
Walls and dirt. How does your pencil have something on the end of it?
It has lead on one end. What's on the other end? This end. The eraser missing?
Eraser.
Yeah, but that one doesn't erase very good, does it? It's missing. It's its eraser. What do you have? You look like you have a dry.
Expo eraser.
An Expo eraser, and that does what?
It erases Expos.
Yeah, it erases.
It erases Expos or dry erase markers. Oh, so all of you have something except for Taylor, and it's a pencil that doesn't erase. So, have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake, any of you?
Oh, I have, right?
I bet you the parents out there have too. Were you able to fix your mistake? Yeah, you can use your erasers, right? I have one that erases on chalkboard. I have one that erases on dry erase. We have those, what are those called again? Oh yeah, those magic erasers. Those are awesome. Parents love those magic erasers.
Yep.
And sometimes in life we make big mistakes that we can't erase. So sometimes we end up with a pencil like Taylor's that doesn't erase anymore because it's missing its eraser. It was all used up. But the cool thing is God's forgiveness erases mistakes no matter how big they are. Unlike a pencil with a worn-out eraser, God's forgiveness is always available. So we don't necessarily need these erasers if we have God. Hmm. Pastor Jacob, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. So you all know the drill. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Even if we make mistakes, help us ask for forgiveness, knowing that you will still love us, no matter what. Amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. All right. Now comes an exciting time, so I invite the Hunick family and anybody else who would like to come up to join me up here. All right, so we have an exciting moment here, and we're going to be welcoming little Levi into the Christian faith this morning, and we're so excited. So the way this is going to work is I have some things to say, y'all have some things to say, and then Brady and Alyssa. And the sponsors will also have some things to say. So they were bringing children to Jesus that Jesus might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For belongs the realm of God. Truly I say to you, And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Jesus said, "Unless we are born anew, we cannot see the reign of God. Unless we are born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter God's new order." Paul the Apostle said, "All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into Christ's death. We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death. So that Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God, we too might walk in the newness of life." The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us but also to our children, baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. This is the water of baptism. Out of this water we rise with new life, forgiven of sin and one in Christ, members of Christ's body. Now it's question time. Do you desire to have your child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, "We do." And now to the parents and the sponsors, will you encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil and receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, "We will, with the help of God." Will you teach this child that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, say, "We will, with the help of God." Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, say, "We do, with the help of God." Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism? If so, please say, "We do, with the help of God." And congregation, this is your part. Jesus Christ calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace in baptism. Do you, who witness and celebrate this sacrament, Promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized as he lives and grows in Christ. We promise our love, support, and care. Let us unite with the church in all times and places by confessing our faith in the triune God. Friends, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Christ be with you.
And also
let us pray. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in the one about to be baptized this day, that he may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. By what name will this child be called? Levi, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Creator of us all, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Levi, child of God. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Holy One, Mother and Father of all the faithful, for this your child and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and the Holy Spirit. Embrace us all as sons and daughters and children in the one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend this new member of the body of Christ. Give to the newly baptized strength for life's journey, courage in times of suffering, the joy of faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life through Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Amen. And we have some gifts for you. Whoops. So, everything's just fallen down today. So we've got a baptism certificate. So you can have that for your records. And we also have a blanket that was made by members of this church. So congratulations. This is so exciting. I invite you to welcome into this life of faith the newest child born into this community, Levi Joel Hunick. Now let us sing together our baptismal hymn number 677, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, and you all can be seated.
Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke from the New Revised Standard Version. I'll be reading the parable of the prodigal son from chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11b through 32. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me." So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Here in the readings for today, may God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today's parable is perhaps one of the most popular Bible stories. It's a story that we've heard before, but maybe not in juxtaposition to some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. As we continue our series on repenting from Christian nationalism, we are going to be talking today about white supremacy. And I titled this sermon, "The Work of Repentance, because it is work to repent from unjust systems that benefit us. But I promise I'm not going to beat you over the head with this. After all, the beauty of this parable that we all know is that there is grace at the end. And you might be thinking to yourself, what the heck does this have to do with this? Just stay with me here. I'll make sure to connect it. But I'm going to start with a story from my own life where white supremacy played a role. So I grew up in Neenah, which is not quite as small as this town, but still pretty small and pretty white and pretty ethnically homogenous. It wasn't until I moved to St. Louis to go to seminary that I experienced a lot of racial and ethnic diversity. And it wasn't until that time that I experienced what it was like to be in the minority in a room. Because I, as a straight white man, experienced being in the majority most of the time. But there were several situations that I was in a room of people of different races and different gender identities than me, and so the idea that I was in the minority was not something I was used to. And being in situations like this required me to think about my implicit biases around race and other minority groups. Now, I don't think about myself as somebody who is super judgmental, although I'm not a perfect person. I will say that my biggest judgment is around people who use Windows PCs or Android phones. Because I happen to believe that Apple is the way to go. But in all seriousness, the disturbing reality that I've come to understand over the last few years is that white supremacy and all the other forms of marginalization that go along with it have been baked into my life experience, whether I wanted it to be or not. I haven't had to worry about walking by myself and worried if I was going to be shot. I won't be denied opportunities in our society because of the color of my skin, and the list goes on. But one of the phrases that has given me a lot of comfort in my ongoing journey working with this is that when we know better, we do better, and that's from Maya Angelou, the poet. So I think that spirit is part of what this text is inviting us into. Not just the need to face what we've done or what our ancestors have done and beat ourselves up about it and feel ashamed, but also the incredible reality of God's grace that can empower us to change how we think about being in community with one another. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Anyone who's familiar with this story would agree that both sons have messed up in various ways. But the common thread that I see here are the ways that both of their experiences relate to the need for collective reconciliation and deeper community, which I think is something we're all trying to achieve. Now, the first son really messes up. He squanders his wealth. He leaves his father behind, who has loved and cared for him, and also his brother. And he has worked, his brother has worked his tail off his whole life, and now he has to pick up the younger brother's slack. The simple lifestyle he has known is no longer good enough for him, And he later finds out the hard way that the grass isn't greener on the other side. Trying to live his own way has cost him dearly, and his biggest problem now is that he has to face the music and humble himself before his family, recognizing what he's done. And it's not the same thing, but sometimes I wonder if the realization, if he had the kind of realization that caused him to look back on his life and think about what led up to this moment, as I thought in St. Louis when I thought about how my living in society has shaped me. It's the kind of realization that fundamentally changes how you live the rest of your life, whether you intend it to or not. And once your perspective is opened to these types of things, you can't unsee it. And you don't know how you will be received when you speak it into being. The younger son probably had every expectation that his father had totally written him off. And that would have been the custom back then. When Jesus talks about the father saying that he has died and come back to life, you know, the father really thought that he had died. And he shouldn't be expecting any kind of warm welcome. But we know how the story ended, and a warm welcome was exactly what he received. And in this situation, it's apparent that when we approach a situation with humility and apologizing and making amends where we can find a new way forward and live into the fullness of life that God offers to us. But what about the other son? What about the one who towed the line for his father and did everything he was told? Where was he supposed to find the amazing grace that God offers to him and that the other son felt? Indeed, this part of the story relates to the other disturbing trend of white supremacy where we other people, thinking about the fact that we're better than we are, thinking that we're in the majority, that there's something that makes us better than other people. And in his expressions to his father, he feels self-righteous, but he too experiences grace, just not in the ways that he might have expected. He's never rebuked. He's never scolded in any way. And no matter what his younger brother has done up to this point, his father reminds him that progress is still progress, and reconciliation is still reconciliation. And so I think it is with us. Today, we aren't focusing on this abstract idea that doesn't mean anything to us here in Waupun. You know, sometimes we experience the fact that we our ancestors have done things in society that we would not agree with. Our ancestors have treated people in ways that have not been kind and have not been just. But what I'm calling us into today is the recognition that we belong to one another, and that we are made we're made to be in community where we can admit where we were wrong and where our ancestors were wrong, and come home to a God who gives us a second chance and a third chance and more chances to live into the fullness of life that God offers to us, and to live in a way that is just and kind. Like both sons in Jesus' parable needed forgiveness and grace, we ourselves also need to remember that there is forgiveness and grace and justice when we repent. And I'm also thinking of the Hunnic family from little Levi being baptized to Alyssa, who will be affirming her membership in this community of faith later on in the service. And looking at today's text from this point of view is equally relevant when I think about their family's promises that they make together today. They're promising to be in a community that is messy. They're promising to be part of a community that may have good intentions, but may not always do the right things all the time. We might find our way into sinfulness and into separation from the ways that God invites us into. But we also are reminded of the strength of God's grace. Just like in the baptism liturgy earlier, we talk about the freedom of life in Jesus Christ, and we talk about being led to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. And we're not always going to get it right, and that's okay. But when we know better, we do better. So this week, I invite you to think about how your journey of life has been shaped by what you've learned about society. How is your continuing life of faith shaped by reconciliation and by the incredible grace of God? May you go into this week not beating yourself up over the head because of what others have done, but may you go with changed hearts and minds, remembering those who are on the margins. And may you find ways to both seek forgiveness and reconciliation and also offer it in the ways that you can. Because God is going to welcome you in with open arms, give you a second chance and a third chance and more chances to live into true fullness of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, where we think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence to think about those folks. Amen. So at this time, we'll be sharing joys and concerns with one another. If you have anything, we'll be sharing joys and concerns, and after any intercessions that come up, I will say, God in your mercy, and if you like, I invite you to respond, receive our prayer. God in your mercy, receive our prayer. Do we have any prayers this morning? Gotcha. Anything on Zoom? Okay. Light prayer day today, but I trust that all of us are carrying something in our hearts. Let us be in prayer together. God of grace and love, we give you thanks for the ways you gather us together, for the ways you call us in to deeper reconciliation, to deeper love, to forgiveness. We recognize that we don't always get it right, that sometimes we mess up. Sometimes our ancestors or sometimes other people in our society mess up, and we have to apologize, we have to offer forgiveness, even when that might be difficult. But we give you thanks that you always give us so many chances to try again and to learn how we can support one another. We give you thanks for Levi and for Alyssa and the ways that that they are making new commitments to the life that you entrust, that you give to us. A life where we are not always going to get it right, where we're going to make mistakes, but we are named and claimed by you, and we are always given the chance to try again, knowing that you love us exactly as we are and exactly as we can be with your help. We ask you to be with all of those in our congregation and in our community who are in need, who are recovering from surgeries, who are ill, who are lonely, who are nervous, who are anxious, who are scared of things that are going on in the world. We ask you to help us, empower us to be a light of hope and love to those in our community who need it most, those who are experiencing homelessness and poverty, food insecurity, discrimination in all of its forms, and all of the different ways that we can support one another through common difficulty. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who calls us into deeper community and offers us the chance to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. There are two ways that you can offer gifts to support this ministry, if you so choose. You have the option of putting your offering in the plate as ushers go by, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so with your hearts attuned to the work of this ministry, for not only this local church, but also to the church universal. If it's comfortable for you to do so, please rise for our doxology. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, we honor the divine anger you must feel over all that continues to steal life in order to serve domination. We pray that we too can be faithful embodiments of anger that disrupts, transforms, and refuses to carry on with what harms us or our neighbors. Make us humble in remembrance of our own complicity. Make us bold in commitment to collective transformation, that all people and that all lands may live in freedom. Amen. You may be seated. I invite Alyssa to come forward. So friends in Christ, we are all received into this church through the sacrament of baptism. This person has found nurture and support in the midst of this family of Christ, and through prayer and study, she has been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm her baptism and to claim in our presence her covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the church. She is here for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. And it's a beautiful thing that we see the progression of baptism and new membership in the same service, in the same family. That's not a very common thing. Hear these words of Jesus. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and anyone who abides in me and I in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things have been spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Here's your second open book test for today, Alyssa. Do you desire to affirm your baptism into the faith community of Jesus Christ, into this faith community of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I do. Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, I do. Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, please say, I do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the Church. Today, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith that has brought you to this time and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. One more question. Do you promise to participate in the life and continue to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help
Let us, the members of Union Congregational Church, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. You may rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. We affirm you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our continuing friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in Christ's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior. And you may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this local church, we extend to you, Alyssa, the hand of Christian love, welcoming you officially into the company of this local church. Let's pray. Almighty and ever-living God, may your hand ever be on your servant who made a commitment to membership here today. May your Holy Spirit ever be with her. So lead her in the knowledge and obedience of your word that she may serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I have a membership certificate for you as well. Thank you so much, Alyssa. We really appreciate you. Our closing hymn is number 358, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We'll just be doing verses 1 and 4. Wow, all the stuff we had to do this morning and all under an hour. Woohoo! And I also forgot to say earlier, thanks to Lori Van Hoff for filling in for Sue today on the piano. So my friends, receive these words of benediction. With God's grace on our side, we can face shame, we can change patterns, we can heal wounds that replicate harm. With God's grace on our side, there is nothing within or around us that must go on as it is. Love is with us. Let us go and be transformed. And then on your way out, please be sure to congratulate both Alyssa and Brady and Levi as they are welcomed officially into this church. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.